Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from The Life and Diary of David Brainerd. We're in part seven of an eight-part book. It's Friday, May 23rd, 1746. Now, some of you may want to read the journal also. This is his diary that was actually put together by Jonathan Edwards. I mean, David wrote it, but Edwards retrieved it and has put his comments occasionally in the book, as you will notice. But the journal, David actually had published a journal before his death. You can find that online free at www.ntslibrary. N as in Nathan, T as in Ted, S as in Sam, ntslibrary.com. And then you put a forward slash, and you keep going, Brainerd underscore journal dot PDF. Yeah, I think it kind of fills in some of the gaps. It tells more of the action, the things that were going on in his life. This is more of an internal look at David Brainerd for those who might be just joining us today. And as you see, we're pretty far along here. You might want to go back and find out what happened beforehand. Friday, May 23rd, 1746, in the morning. Was in the same frame of mind as in the evening before. The glory of Christ's kingdom so much outshone the pleasure of earthly accommodations and enjoyments that they appeared comparatively nothing, though in themselves good and desirable. And my soul was melted in secret meditation and prayer, and I found myself divorced from any part in this world, so that in those affairs that seemed of the greatest importance to me, in respect of the present life, and those wherein the tender powers of the mind are most sensibly touched, I could only say, the will of the Lord be done. But just the same things that I felt the evening before, I felt now, and found the same freedom in prayer for the people of my charge, for the propagation of the gospel among the Indians, and for the enlargement and spiritual welfare of Zion in general, and my dear friends in particular. Now, as I did then, and longed to burn out in one continued flame for God. Retained much of the same frame through the day. In the evening was visited by my brother, John Brainerd, the first visit I've ever received from any near relative since I've been a missionary. Felt the same frame of spirit in the evening as in the morning, and found that it was good for me to draw near to God, and leave all my concerns and burdens with him. Was enlarged and refreshed in pouring out my soul for the propagation of the gospel of the Redeemer among the distant tribes of Indians. Blessed be God, if ever I filled up a day with studies and devotion, I was enabled to fill it up this day. Saturday, May 24. Enjoyed this day something of the same frame of mind as I felt the day before. On Lord's Day, May 25th, you'd have to see the public journal. This week, at least the former of it, he was in a very weak state, but yet seems to have been free from melancholy, which often had attended the failing of his bodily strength. He, from time to time, speaks of comfort and an inward refreshment this week. Monday, June 2, in the evening, enjoyed some freedom in secret prayer and meditation. Tuesday, June 3, my soul rejoiced early in the morning to think that all things were at God's disposal. Oh, it pleased me to leave them there. Felt afterwards, much as I did on Thursday evening, May 22nd last, and continued in this frame for several hours. Walked out into the wilderness, enjoyed freedom, fervency, and comfort in prayer, and again enjoyed the same in the evening. Wednesday, June 4, spent the day in writing, and enjoyed some comfort and satisfaction and freedom in my work. In the evening I was favored with a sweet, refreshing frame of soul in secret prayer and meditation. Prayer was now wholly turned into praise, and I could do little else but try to adore and bless the living God. The wonders of his grace displayed in gathering to himself a church among the poor Indians here were the subject matter of my meditation, and the occasion of exciting my soul to praise and bless his name. My soul was scarce ever more disposed to inquire what I should render to God for all his benefits than at this time. Oh, I was brought into a strait, a sweet and happy strait, to know what to do. I longed to make some returns to God, but found I had nothing to return. I could only rejoice that God had done the work himself, and that none in heaven or earth might pretend to share the honor of it with him. I could only be glad that God's declarative glory was advanced by the conversion of these souls, and that it was to the enlargement of his kingdom in the world. But I saw I was so poor that I had nothing to offer to him. My soul and body, through grace, I could cheerfully surrender to him, but it appeared to me that this was rather a cumber than a gift, and nothing could I do to glorify his dear and blessed name. Yet I was glad at heart that he was unchangeably possessed of glory and blessedness, all that he might be adored and praised by all his intelligent creatures, and to the utmost of their power and capacities. My soul would have rejoiced to see others praise him, though I could do nothing towards it myself. The next day he speaks of his being subject to some degree of melancholy, but of being somewhat relieved in the evening. And then Saturday, June 7, rode to Freehold to assist Mr. Tennant in the administration of the Lord's Supper. In the afternoon preached from Psalm 73:28, "But it is good for me to draw near to God," and so on. God gave me some freedom and warmth in my discourse, and I trust his presence was in the assembly, was comfortably composed, and enjoyed a thankful frame of spirit, and my soul was grieved that I could not render something to God for his benefits bestowed. Oh, that I could be swallowed up in his praise. Lord's Day, June 8, spent much time in the morning in secret duties, but between hope and fear respecting the enjoyment of God in the business of the day then before us, was agreeably entertained in the forenoon by a discourse from Mr. Tennant, and felt somewhat melted and refreshed. In the season of communion enjoyed some comfort, and especially in serving one of the tables. Blessed be the Lord, it was a time of refreshing to me, and I trust to many others. A number of my dear people sat down by themselves at the last table, at which time God seemed to be in the midst of them, and the thoughts of what God had done among them were refreshing and melting to me. In the afternoon God enabled me to preach with uncommon freedom from 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ," and so on. Through the great goodness of God, I was favored with a constant flow of pertinent matter and proper expressions from the beginning to the end of my discourse. In the evening, I could not but rejoice in God and bless him for the manifestations of grace in the day past. Oh, it was a sweet and solemn day and evening, a season of comfort to the godly and of awakening to some souls. Oh, that I could praise the Lord. Monday, June 9. Enjoyed some sweetness in secret duties, and preached the concluding sermon from Genesis 5:24, "And Enoch walked with God," and so on. God gave me enlargement and fervency in my discourse, so that I was enabled to speak with plainness and power. God's presence seemed to be in the assembly. Praised be the Lord, it was a sweet meeting, a desirable assembly. I found my strength renewed and lengthened out, even to a wonder, so that I felt much stronger at the conclusion than in the beginning of this sacramental solemnity. I have great reason to bless God for this solemnity, wherein I have found assistance in addressing others and sweetness in my own soul. On Tuesday he found himself spent and his spirits exhausted by his late labors, and on Wednesday complains of vapory disorders and dejection of spirit and of enjoying but little comfort or spirituality. Thursday, June 12. In the evening enjoyed freedom of mind and some sweetness in secret prayer. It was a desirable season to me. My soul was enlarged in prayer for my own dear people, and for the enlargement of Christ's kingdom, especially for the propagation of the gospel among the Indians back in the wilderness. I was refreshed in prayer for dear friends in New England and elsewhere. I found it sweet to pray at this time and could with all my heart say, "It is good for me to draw near to God." Friday, June 13, I came away from the meeting of the Indians this day, rejoicing and blessing God for His grace manifested at this season. Saturday, June 14, rode to Kingston to assist the Reverend Mr. Wales in the administration of the Lord's Supper. In the afternoon, preached, but almost fainted in the pulpit. Yet God strengthened me when I was just gone and enabled me to speak His word with freedom, fervency, and application to the conscience. And praised be the Lord, out of weakness I was made strong. I enjoyed some sweetness in and after public worship, but was extremely tired. Oh, how many are the mercies of the Lord! To them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Lord's Day, June 15, was in a dejected, spiritless frame, that I could not hold up my head nor look anybody in the face. Administered the Lord's Supper at Mr. Wales's desire, and found myself in a good measure unburdened and relieved of my pressing load when I came to ask a blessing on the elements. Here God gave me enlargement and a tender, affectionate sense of spiritual things, so that it was a season of comfort in some measure to me, and I trust more so to others. In the afternoon, preached to a vast multitude from Revelation 22:17, "Whosoever will." God helped me to offer a testimony for Himself and to leave sinners inexcusable in neglecting His grace. I was enabled to speak with such freedom, fluency, and clearness as commanded the attention of the great. Was extremely tired in the evening, but enjoyed composure and sweetness. Monday, June 16, preached again, and God helped me amazingly, so that this was a sweet, refreshing season to my soul and others. Oh, forever blessed be God for help afforded at this time, when my body was so weak, and while there was so large an assembly to hear. Spent the afternoon in a comfortable, agreeable manner. And the next day was spent comfortably. Now, on Wednesday, he went to a meeting of ministers at Hopewell. On Friday and Saturday, he was very much amiss, but yet preached to his people on Saturday. His illness continued on the Sabbath, but he preached notwithstanding. And to his people, both parts of the day, and after the public worship was ended, he endeavored to apply divine truths to the consciences of some, and address them personally for that end. Several were in tears, and addressed, as some appeared, much affected. But he was extremely wearied with the services of the day, and was so ill at night that he could have no bodily rest, but remarks that God was his support, that he was not left destitute of comfort in Him. On Monday he continued very ill, but speaks of his mind being calm and composed, resigned to the divine dispensations, and content with his feeble state. By the account he gives of himself, the remaining part of this week he continued very feeble, for the most part dejected in mind. He enjoyed no great freedom nor sweetness in spiritual things, excepting that for some very short spaces of time he had refreshment and encouragement, which engaged his heart on divine things, and sometimes his heart was melted with spiritual affection. Lord's Day, June 29. Preached both parts of the day from John 14:19. "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more," and so on. God was pleased to assist me, to afford me both freedom and power, especially towards the close of my discourses, both forenoon and afternoon. God's power appeared in the assembly in both exercises. Numbers of God's people were refreshed and melted with divine things. One or two comforted who had been long under distress. Convictions in diverse instances powerfully revived. And one man in years much awakened, who had not long frequented our meeting, and appeared before as stupid as a stock. God amazingly renewed and lengthened out my strength. I was so spent at noon that I could scarce walk, and all my joints trembled. so that I could not sit, nor so much as hold my hand still. And yet God strengthened me to preach with power in the afternoon, although I had given out word to my people that I did not expect to be able to do it. Spent some time afterwards in conversing, particularly with several persons, about their spiritual state, and had some satisfaction concerning one or two. Prayed afterwards with a sick child and gave a word of exhortation. Was assisted in all my work. Blessed be God. Returned home with more health than I went out with, although my linen was wringing wet upon me from a little after 10 in the morning till past 5 in the afternoon. My spirits also were considerably refreshed, and my soul rejoiced in hope, and that I had through grace done something for God. In the evening walked out and enjoyed a sweet season in secret prayer and praise. But oh, I found the truth of the psalmist's words, "My goodness extendeth not to thee." I could not make any returns to God. I longed to live only to him, and to be in tune for his praise and service forever. Oh, for spirituality and holy fervency, that I might spend and be spent for God to my latest moment. Monday, June 30. I spent the day in writing, but under much weakness and disorder. Felt the labors of the preceding day, although my spirits were so refreshed the evening before that I was not then sensible of my being spent. Tuesday, July 1. In the afternoon visited and preached to my people from Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and so on occasion of some persons lying at the point of death in my congregation. God gave me some assistance, and his word made some impressions on the audience in general. This was an agreeable and comfortable evening to my soul. My spirits were somewhat refreshed, with a small degree of freedom and help enjoyed in my work. On Wednesday, according to Mr. Edwards, he went to Newark to a meeting of the presbytery. I complained of lowness of spirits and greatly laments his spending his time so unfruitfully. The remaining part of the week he spent there and at Elizabethtown, and speaks of comfort and divine assistance from day to day, but yet greatly complains for need of more spirituality. Lord's Day, July 6, at Elizabethtown. Enjoyed some composure and serenity of mind in the morning. Heard Mr. Dickinson preach in the forenoon, and was refreshed with his discourse. Was in a melting frame some part of the time of sermon. Partook of the Lord's Supper, and enjoyed some sense of divine things in that ordinance. In the afternoon I preached from Ezekiel 33:11. As I live, saith the Lord God, and so on. God favored me with freedom and fervency, and helped me to plead his cause beyond my own power. Monday, July 7. My spirits were considerably refreshed and raised in the morning. There is no comfort, I find, in any enjoyment without enjoying God and being engaged in his service. In the evening I had the most agreeable conversation that ever I remember in all my life upon God's being all in all, and all enjoyments being just that to us which God makes them and no more. It is good to begin and end with God. Oh, how does a sweet solemnity lay a foundation for true pleasure and happiness. Tuesday, July 8, rode home, enjoyed some agreeable meditations by the way. Wednesday, July 9, spent the day in writing. Enjoyed some comfort and refreshment of spirit in my evening retirement. Thursday, July 10, spent most of the day in writing. Towards night, rode to Mr. Tennant's. Enjoyed some agreeable conversation. Went home in the evening in a solemn and sweet frame of mind. Was refreshed in secret duties. Longed to live wholly and only for God. And saw plainly there was nothing in the world worthy of my affection, so that my heart was dead to all below. Yet not through dejection, as at some times, but from views of a better inheritance. Friday, July 11, was in a calm, composed frame in the morning, especially in the season of my secret retirement. I think I was well pleased with the will of God, whatever it was, or should be, in all respects I had then any thought of. Intending to administer the Lord's Supper the next Lord's Day, I looked to God for his presence and assistance upon that occasion. But I felt a disposition to say, the will of the Lord be done, whether it be to give me assistance or not. I spent some little time in writing, visited the Indians, spent some time in serious conversation with them, thinking it not best to preach, and many of them being absent. Saturday, July 12. This day was spent in fasting and prayer by my congregation as preparatory to the sacrament. I discoursed both parts of the day from Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses, and so on. God gave me some assistance in my discourses, and something of divine power attended the word, so that this was an agreeable season. Afterwards led them to a solemn renewal of their covenant and fresh dedication of themselves to God. This was a season both of solemnity and sweetness, and God seemed to be in the midst of us. I returned to my lodgings in the evening in a comfortable frame of mind. Let's leave David Brainerd in a comfortable frame of mind. He's not there all the time, but you know what? He's in there a lot more than he used to be. Have you noticed? The melancholy is still there, but it's not there so much. He's growing. And you will grow too as you continue to seek the Lord. Whatever your issue is, you keep hanging in there as he did. Keep praising him and blessing him and spending lots of time with him. And you'll see that your issue is dealt with too. It's true. It just happens all the time. Now, there are thorns in the flesh, but then there are sins that we just normally, naturally, easily fall into. Those kind of things God will deal with. I'll leave it up to you as to whether melancholy is a sin or is just a predisposition of a person's nature that he has to fight all his life. It's a tough one. I think you're learning, though, from David Brainerd a whole lot of good things. I know you have been. Those of you who have stayed with it the whole time, God bless you. It's not easy reading. It's not easy listening, I'm sure. But truly worth the effort, I do believe. All right, that's it for this time. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk very soon. Bye-bye.